Speak with power, lead with presence, build your confidence. Meet Central Florida's charisma coach. Welcome to the Mary Gardner Show. Now, here's Mary.
Hey, everybody, it's Mary. I am so excited that you're here today. It's probably or potentially a Saturday where you are if you're listening live. And I'm just so thrilled that today we have breath and that we're alive and we get to choose our life. And I'm so excited to talk to you today because I know that most of you have had a dream that maybe you haven't accomplished yet. And did you ever have one that you talked yourself out of? Like we all have. Well, maybe you thought I'm too old or it's too late or I don't have the background or maybe life just got in the way. I mean, life does get busy. Well, today I'm bringing you someone who completely destroys all of those excuses, not with theory and not with motivation, but with proof. Ruben Gonzalez decided at age 21 to become an Olympian, but there was just one problem. He'd never done the sport. He chose one of the fastest, most dangerous sports in the world, the luge, and where you're flying down the ice at 90 miles per hour and inches off the ground. And 4 years later, he was in the Olympics, not once, not twice, but across four different decades. And now, my friend Ruben is training for the 2030 Olympics in his 60s. Let that sink in. This is not just about sports. This is something deeper, and it's about the question, what if the limits that you believe are not real? Today, we're going to talk about mindset, resilience, reinvention, and what it really takes to do something people say is impossible. Ruben, welcome to the show. I cannot wait to hear your story.
Wow, Mary, that's a tough act to follow. You've got so much energy. I love it.
Of course, because I get motivated by exciting people like yourself and just want to congratulate you. What an amazing life that you had. And I'm just so excited to dig in. I want to start really about how you got when you were 21 years old. I mean, take me back. Did you have parents that like protected you, that encouraged you? How did you at age 21 decide you want to go for the Olympics? That sounds inspiring, but like really unrealistic.
I was born in Argentina. We moved to the States when I was six. My dad was a chemical engineer, and my mom was a homemaker. And my mom taught me how to drink. She would always tell me stories about how her grandmother, they left everything behind in Italy for the hope of something, you know, hopefully something better in Argentina. And then how they did the same thing on the way to the United States. And so he says, we follow our hearts, and we go for the dream. We're willing to give up something good for the possibility of something great. No guarantees, but it's worth it. And my dad, he was an engineer, so he taught me the steps. So they were always very supportive, and it was a great place to, you know, a great childhood to have that kind of mentoring.
I think so. I mean, a lot of parents are just so busy working. They don't feed into their kids like that. But something in your mom's heart sparked something in yours. And then you decided, I want to do something great. How did you pick the luge? I mean, that's like the most dangerous sport you could have possibly gotten into.
I'm not a great athlete, okay? I'm all slow. I got a lot of heart, but no body. I was only the last kid for PE. You had the two team captains choose the teams. I was the last one. Last captain always said the same thing. Oh, got to get Ruben again. But I had this dream because I read all throughout childhood, even today I read adventure books and biographies. And so you read about people that, you know, everybody was born normal, but then if they chase the dream, you start growing, right, through the struggles that you encounter. And when I was 21, I was a bench warmer in my college soccer team. Coach said, you only get to play when we're winning by two goals because you're a threat to our own team. I mean, that's where I was.
Oh, my.
And I see the Olympics again. I saw them when I was 10, and I was hooked. But it was a pipe dream at that point. But when I saw the 84 games, I saw Scott Hamilton, the figure skater.
Oh, yeah,
win.
I love him.
Oh, my gosh. And everything changed. I thought, if that little guy can win, I can at least play. I won't be in the next one. It's a done deal. I just got to find a sport.
Wow.
And I went to the library. I looked at the summer sports. Took me 5 minutes to realize you got to be Superman to do any of these things.
Yeah.
And then I started looking at the winter, and I thought, wait a minute. I'm going to put together a plan for the next 4 years. Mm. I need to base the plan on my strength. My strength's perseverance. My nickname was Bulldog in high school. I never quit.
Wow.
And so I thought, okay, I got to find a sport that's so tough. We've got so many broken bones in it, there'll be lots of quitters. That's
yeah.
where I'll stand out.
Oh, my.
So it's going to be ski jump, bobsled, or luge. And by the way, I lived in Houston at the time.
You what? Say it again?
I lived in Houston, so the only ice I'd seen was an ice peak.
Oh, my gosh.
Ski jump, forget it. That's suicide. And bobsled, where are you going to find three other nuts in Houston who want to do the bobsled? So luge, I could do by myself. I actually wrote Sports Illustrated a letter, asked them, where do you go learn how to luge? And they said Lake Placid, New York. I called them up, got myself into a training camp, and 4 years and a few broken bones later, I'm in the Calgary Olympics, 1988. I mean, dreams come true.
So were you the only one at your from Argentina that went to do this sport?
Yes, I had to pioneer the sport, and that was the toughest part because I could have been the Michael Jordan of luge, but unless Argentina had a luge federation that governs the sport, that belongs to the international, you know, all this red tape had to be put together, and I had zero credibility.
Yeah.
But I got the U.S. coaches to help me out, and they would write these glowing letters. Oh, you got to help this guy out. He's got what it takes, you know. And eventually they did it. And the first 2 years, you know, I broke my foot twice, my knee, my elbow, my hand, my thumb, a couple of ribs.
Wow.
Because I had to do a 10-year, it takes 10 years to learn.
Yeah, to condense. You had to condense all that. Yeah,
Yep. And the second 2 years, then you're competing against the best in the world to try to be one of the top 50 that gets to go to the Olympics. And so I made it by the skin of my teeth 4 times, but I got to play with the big boys. And so now I through that, I'm able to, you know, help people, overcome their mental limitations, right? So they can go for it too.
All right. So you got a dream, and you basically have no talent for it yet, and you're in that progression, like in those first few months, physically exhausted, mentally exhausted, giving up. Like, what was that like? You're around all these people that you see how they're doing it. You're in a training camp, but you don't have the talent. So take us back to that mentally, because I think a lot of us get in that place where we say, I want to be this person, but I don't even know where to start. So you figured it out. You also got mentors, and the mentors became advocates, which is really impressive. But take us back for those first couple of months. How were you?
Sure.
Obviously, physically, you got beat up. But how was the mental game?
The mental game, the last 2 years were tough mentally.
Okay.
The first two was a physical struggle trying to learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they throw me to the wolves. I'm as good a loser at that point, like a 16-year-old kid that just got his driver's permit. Okay?
Mm.
And imagine this kid. They put him in this room, and now he's surrounded by all these Formula One drivers because he's going to go have to race against them. I mean, I thought, I don't belong here. I mean, it was like a crisis of belief, right?
Yeah.
An imposter syndrome. But I would just go to the, you know, corner of the room, and I would just, you know, focus on it. Just keep going. Don't quit. Keep getting those World Cup points because they translate into a World Cup standing, and keep on keeping up. Meanwhile, the Germans, who totally dominate the sport, they wouldn't give me the time of day. So that confirmed in my mind that I didn't belong. But I just kept putting one foot in front of the other. And if you do that, it's amazing. When you jump, the net will appear.
Okay? Amen. I love it. Yeah. That's a great book. Have you read it by Robin Crow? I love that book.
No, there's actually a book by that.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic. Yeah. Jump and the net will appear. That's exactly right, because it's one foot in front of the other. Oftentimes, we look at that big goal and we just give up. It's too much. It's like eating the elephant. How do you eat the elephant? One bite.
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time.
I'm half Italian, so I like to say, how do you eat a salami? One bite.
That's much better. I like that a lot better. That's amazing. Did you ever at some point say, I've made a mistake. This is ridiculous. I've just totally outdone myself. I can't do this.
Well, yeah, many times I wanted to quit. I white-knuckled it for 25 years. I mean, I was scared to death going on that darn sled, but I realized that luge sled was the only vehicle that was going to get me where I wanted to go, the Olympics. I like to play ping pong. Well, I'm probably the best in my neighborhood, but I'm not even the best in my town, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't going to do it. And soccer ball wouldn't do it. So I just went with the vehicle. So you have to reverse engineer it a little bit and give it your all.
You had a voice inside of you saying that, I know I really shouldn't be doing this, and I don't think I can, but I'm going to anyway. Where does that voice come from?
I believe it comes from God. I mean, if you got the little angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other one,
amen.
Anything that's negative, that's just coming from Satan. And so as soon as I hear or I feel, you know, the self-talk, I just ask Jesus for help. I said, help me,
wow.
Jesus. That's all I got to do. And my whole attitude changes because he, you know, the devil runs and I have this peace in me. That's taken a long time to develop that. It's not been an overnight thing.
Yeah.
But by doing quiet time every morning and reading books by people like Sarah Young and Tony Evans, I've gotten deeper and deeper in my faith. And people talk about the mental side and the physical side, but they tend to forget about the spiritual side, you know? We're all three.
I hear so many people, you know, talking out in the world and they are like, we're going to go deep. We're going to talk about it. And I'm like, okay, but you haven't even mentioned once that there's a supernatural God who's there, who's built you, who wants you to succeed, who's there giving you ideas and leading you. And why aren't you talking like that? You think it's all you. It's not. So I love that you're humble to be able to say, you know, even get behind me, Satan. Like that's impressive, Reuben. And, it's just, it's really, really comfortable and awesome to hear that you have faith in Christ and that you are moving forward. Anyway, I can't wait to hear the rest of your story. We're talking to Reuben Gonzalez, who is a four-time Olympian going for his fifth in his 60s in the luge. Guys, you got to come back after the break. We're going to hear some awesome sponsors and we're going to talk some more to Reuben Gonzalez. Stay right with us. We'll be right back.
Let's unlock the communicator and the leader that you always wanted to be. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Now let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Mary, and we're talking to Reuben Gonzalez today. And I just got to tell you, it is so fun and so electric to get to talk to all these awesome people. And when I meet somebody like Reuben Gonzalez, who's doing the impossible and living to help other people, it is so inspiring to me. And I just want each and every one of us know that it's not impossible for us to pursue beautiful things. And Reuben, most people don't fail because they lack the talent. They fail because they quit too soon. Like their mental game gets in the way and they just think, oh, it's too hard. I'm not disciplined enough. I'll never be able to do it. But what did you do different mentally that allowed you to compress years of learning into just 4 years?
I had reminders everywhere. In fact, when I wrote Sports Illustrated to ask them, where do you go learn how to luge? They sent me a picture, like an 8x10 of a guy doing the luge. And I put it in a frame, stuck it in the bedroom right across from my bed. And first thing in the morning, first person I saw was the luge man. That's what I call him. And he reminded me, hey, I'm going for the Olympics. Got to eat right. Got to work out, hang around with winners, you know, read good books. And at night, before I shut off the lights, same thing. Last person I saw every night was the luge man. What do you think I dreamt about? My phone, the ringer, is the same tone that you hear up at men's start when you're going to go. And so even when a spammer calls me, he's helping me go to the Olympics because he's reminding me, right?
Wow.
When you send me a text, it's the sound of a luge sled going by. I recorded it at the Calgary track. And so I'm always thinking about it. I'm always talking about it. You have to become known for your dream. When people start asking you about, man, how's that, whatever it is, how's it going? Are you getting closer? That means you're starting to get focused because you're becoming known for it. And that puts a little bit of peer pressure to help you, you know, get it done.
Wow. Wow. That is so insane. So you developed habits and you created an environment that supported your dream. A lot of people don't do that. And I'm going to write that one down. That's really great. Because a lot of people's dreams, like, oh, I'm going to be a millionaire. But they don't have the house. They don't have the vision board. They don't have, like, the luge sound on your phone. I mean, that is so different and really impressive. Really impressive. Did you visualize yourself in the Olympics before you got there? And take us through that process.
Oh, yes. I mean, I might have been jogging. I might have been walking in the mall, eating dinner or whatever. But my mind, I could always see myself, you know, walking into the opening ceremony. I see all the people cheering. It's so exciting. And I look over to the right, and there's the Olympic flag. It's like, oh my gosh, they're so great. And here's the Olympic torch burning brightly, and the Olympic orchestra playing the Olympic anthem, my favorite song in the whole world. And we're high-fiving each other. Man, we made it, it was worth it. And you feel the snow hitting your face and the tears because everybody's crying. And 4 years later, when I actually walked into that stadium, it was exactly like I dreamt it, only 100 times better. It was awesome. Mind mm-hmm. can't tell the difference between something that you vividly imagine with all your heart and all your soul and all your passion and all your senses. Mm. It can't tell the difference between that and something that's actually happening.
Yep.
So you go through that little exercise. What's it going to be like? What's it going to taste like? What's it going to smell like when I finally make my dream come true? You get strong inside. You start walking differently. You start talking differently. And all of a sudden, you start attracting resources that were there before, but they weren't coming to you before because everybody wants to help a winner. Everybody wants to help somebody who's going places and who believes. Mm. But you have to start, you have to become that person first.
That's so good. Go ahead.
I have a dream team, okay? You mm-hmm. said an environment. It's my dream team is part of my environment conducive to success.
Okay.
And it's like my personal board of directors. Whenever I have a challenge, I call them up and I get some tips. I don't wait. I nip it in the bud before it becomes a real challenge.
Were these guys that were already luge professionals and in the industry, were they coaches? Who did you pick on your dream team?
Coaches and doctors and chiropractors to pick me up. Financial planner, all these different people that had their areas of expertise. Today, my coach, Jonathan Edwards, he's actually a descendant of the Jonathan Edwards, who's a famous preacher from the 1800s in New England.
Wow.
Yeah. So Jonathan got fourth place in the doubles luge in Lillehammer, and he's been my coach for almost 20 years now.
We talk
on the phone a couple times a week, even during off season, because there's really no off season because you got to get in shape during the off season. But we're always talking and staying in touch, right? And that makes a big difference because I was having coffee with this lady. When was it? It was Sunday morning.
Okay.
And I was telling her about this, and that I was going for, I was trying to become the oldest Winter Olympian ever, break a 100-year-old record. And she says, well, why don't you do the Senior Olympics? I said, I don't want to do the Senior Olympics.
No way.
I'd rather go for the real Olympics and come short than go for something that doesn't excite me.
Are you still performing and representing Argentina?
I am. When I called Lake Placid, I fell into a win-win that made it all possible. I really believe that God let me do this so that I would have a platform to help more people. It's the only thing that makes sense to me. But when I called them and the guy found out that I was from Argentina, he got all excited. He says, look, if you'll go for Argentina, we'll help you. At first, he didn't want to help me because he thought I was going to want to go for the U.S. And if you'll go for Argentina, we'll help you. I said, why? He goes, because the luge is always close to getting kicked out of the Olympics because we're not global enough.
It's
just the U.S., Canada, and some European countries. Man, if you made it, you'd be a whole new continent, okay? I've been under the U.S. umbrella for over 40 years now. They still help me out. It's been awesome. And they teach me just enough to make it, but not enough to beat their guys. And I'm cool with that.
Oh, my gosh. That's so great. So that's good. So we will be seeing you in the 2030 Olympics. More than likely representing Argentina. When you come out there when you're walking with all the other participants, you're the only one from the luge.
No. It's funny. After my first Olympics, other sliders started appearing from different countries in South America. Venezuela, from Colombia, from Brazil, and a couple others from Argentina. And so when you see Argentina marching in the winter, it's usually 10 to 15 people. In the summer, we have a bigger group.
Sports. I'm glad you cleared that up. Okay. But they all had to go through the same fear and overcoming all these obstacles as well. But you paved the way, which was so generous and amazing. I want to know, when you are going 90 miles an hour on the ice, what is going through your mind? I know that also you have to hold your neck up some kind of strange way, because one of my associates here at the station said, how do they hold their neck up? So tell me those two things. What's going through your mind?
Sure.
How do you hold up your neck?
In the old days, the further down you went, if those walls went faster and faster, I got tighter and tighter. I couldn't believe I could even steer at the bottom of the track because I was tight like a surfboard. And Jonathan, my coach, said, stop looking at those walls. They're scaring you. You could be clock at the fastest time, but if you crash, you lose the race. Mm-hmm. Luge isn't about speed. It's about who has the best time. So you need to be looking forward about 30 feet in front of you, and your mindset needs to be, what do I need to do in every section of every curve to ensure I'll have the best time? Mm-hmm. If you do that, you go with blinders, right, and focus on the goal instead of on the wall,
Amen.
The fear will disappear. I did about 100 mine runs that night at the hotel, just laying down on the bed.
Okay.
And the next day, the fear disappeared. Okay. Ooh. It didn't reduce it. So when I speak for lots of sales groups.
Yeah.
And I tell them, look, and I tell them that story.
Yeah.
And I tell them, look, what are you going to do in the next 10 minutes to move your business forward? Okay. Mm. It's the same idea. Don't read the papers. Don't read about the inflation and about the economy, because everybody's got the same economy. That'll just take you down. Just focus on the dream and what do I need to do in the next 15 minutes to get closer to my goal to build my business. And it's the same mindset. Focus on what's important.
That's holding yourself really accountable to a minute-by-minute basis. And so many of us, like, oh, wait, I got to go, whatever, do scrolling and we seep so much time and energy out of our life, giving it to other people or talking on the phone. And what I'm hearing from you is that incredible drive, ambition, and focus to achieve one goal. And you don't seem splintered at all. You seem very, very focused on that thing.
Good at saying no. Mm. You get good at saying no to things that could be a distraction. Mm-hmm. If somebody offers me a piece of chocolate cake, it's like chocolate cake, Olympics, I'll take the Olympics. Easy, okay?
Man.
When you have a strong goal that you're passionate about, decision-making becomes a lot simpler. And to answer your question about the neck, we pull up to 6 Gs on some of the curves. We actually wear a neck strap that attaches to our hips.
Oh, wow.
But it's almost like a backup, okay? Because you can't be relying on that neck strap the whole time, otherwise your steering's going to be all wrong. But that kind of helps you on the toughest curves. Or if you're sick and weak, right? You're catching a cold or something, and you don't have the normal strength. You start feeling your head going back, then your eyes start rolling back, and everything starts becoming like a you start stop seeing stuff, and you have to get out of that curve without seeing where you're going. But when you start feeling that, then it's a strap.
I love it that you're talking about the concept of looking forward and not looking at all the obstacles and not looking at the distractions. And that's what you have to do in horseback riding also, is when you're going over jumps and you're doing dressage, you're looking where you're headed, because the horse can read you. And so if you're looking down, it's going to distract the horse. So you always want to keep looking forward. So I love that you're doing that in that sport as well. That's so great. How do you help people eliminate excuses, Ruben? You got about 30 seconds to let us know that, because that's a big one.
Well, we homeschooled both of our kids the whole way through, and my wife did all the schooling. I was more attitude and character, and I had a couple of rules for my kids. No quitting and no whining, okay? That I was not going to tolerate.
So I love them.
When somebody makes an excuse, I just want to get away from it. It's like, I don't want to catch that. It's like disease. You want to associate with winners and disassociate with the people that are negative about it.
Amen to that, Ruben. Oh my gosh. And it's so true. So many people are so defeated. They walk around defeated all the time. But we're talking to Ruben Gonzalez, who is a 4-time Olympic champion in all of our minds in the luge. He's from Colorado, but he performs and he represents Argentina in the Olympics, and he'll be at the 2030 Olympics. We're going to take a quick break to see our sponsors. Ruben will be right back in just a few minutes. You guys, make sure you join us. We'll see you in a few.
You're not starting over. You're rising higher. Welcome back to the Mary Gardner Show. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Mary of the Mary Gardner Show, and I hope that you have your notes, because I've been taking notes the whole time talking to Ruben Gonzalez, and it's amazing because sometimes it's those little tiny things like making you have reminders all over the place for your goal in your dream. And I love it how he was saying earlier that he had pictures everywhere, but also on his phone, he has the luge sound, So if there's something like that you could do in your goal setting, besides that, he visualized over and over and over 100 times. And he tells people or asks people, what are you going to do in the next 10 minutes to achieve your dream? I mean, that's some good stuff. So you might have to listen to this again and go back to the Mary Gardner website, marygardner.com, because you'll be able to share this later with individuals that you know, because I know, like you, you're getting really motivated and excited. But Ruben, what fascinates me most is that you didn't just go to the Olympics 4 times, but you did it across decades. You did it in 1988, 92, 2002, 2010, and now you're aiming for 2030, and that is completely unheard of. And I know that you're going for one of the oldest Olympians in the winter sports, which is crazy. But how do you sustain belief, so much of that, so much power and energy and focus over time? How does a person do that?
I had a different motivation for each of the four. So it's so the driving force came from a different place. And there were, I had 3 7-year breaks where I wasn't doing the league. And so my coach, when we decided, hey, let's go for 2030, I asked him, do you think it's possible? And he's a coach that has fruit on the trees, okay? He's not a theorist. He got 4th place in Lillehammer. So he knows. And he says, yes, it's possible. It's not probable, but it's possible. I said, okay, great. Whatever number you're thinking of, don't tell it to me. Because if you think it's 10%, I may not go for it. If you tell me it's 80%, I may not work hard enough. So I'm just going to run on your belief, and we're going to do this together, and we're going to make it happen. And either way, we're going to have a great time. And so in those years when I was not losing, I was doing something else, maybe building my speaking business and writing books for it. If somebody offered me that chocolate cake, man, I didn't want to slice. I'd eat the whole thing because I'm goal-oriented, right? Because it wasn't having to compete against the Olympics, right? Yeah. But when I'm going for the Olympics, I'm in better shape now than I've ever been in my life because I'm constantly learning. Mm-hmm. I know how to take care of my body. Mm-hmm. I know how to take care of my neck and my lower back for the luge. And I'm trimmer. I got more muscle. And I studied people like Djokovic, you know, the tennis player. You know, he's had a super long career, and he's still at the top. Tom Brady, and I do a lot of the things that they do. You know, you want to follow somebody that's done what you want to do. Well, I want to compete for a real long time, and they've done it, so I'm going to follow their. And so it's that mindset of being willing to do what the competition is not willing to do, and at the same time, following the leader. So you can become a leader.
Oh, I love that. It's so great. Yeah. So are you on the all meat lion diet, or are you doing vegetarian? What's your choice?
I was born in Argentina, so that's an easy one. Meat. Give me meat.
Okay.
In fact, I'm going to send you a link and feel free to share it when we do this.
Sure.
It's too long to explain, but it talks about my diet. It talks about tons of tips on this page.
Wow, that's so important, especially as you age. But what did you learn in your 50s and early 60s that you didn't know in your 20s? Did you take care of yourself like that when you were earlier?
No, and I didn't know why I had, you know, my back was always hurting and I would pull my neck muscles all the time from these runs. And so I started, you know, learning from chiropractors and then from orthopedics, right, teaching me, and then from trainers. And one thing I learned, for example, I just read Djokovic's book. It's called Serve to Win, and it's about how when he changed his diet, that's when he started winning. The first 10 years, he would peter out after 3 or 4 sets, but it wasn't out of being tired. He was in great shape. It was just his body was rebelling to something he'd eaten 5 hours before. And a nutritionist approached him and showed him, got him off. This is for him, okay?
Yeah.
It happened to be gluten and dairy for him and a few other things, and then he started winning, right? And so last week, I went and had a blood test that he referenced in his book, okay? Because I don't wait. I take action real quick.
Yeah.
I got a blood test that tested 250 things that I could possibly be allergic to, severe, moderate, or mild.
Yeah.
And now I know that, okay, steer away from those because those will hurt my chances. Little things like that.
Mm-hmm. It's those little things. Absolutely. It's not the huge, big things. It is those little things, and you're digging in. That's phenomenal. And today's world, with all of the information on YouTube and on X, we have information. And it sounds like you go and integrate it into your life, which is really, really, really powerful. What do you say to somebody, Ruben, that who's listening, who thinks, yeah, well, that's good for you because you've had a lot of success, but I've missed my window?
No, there's so many stories, you know. Harlan Sanders, you know, he started Kentucky Fried Chicken when he was in his 60s. And there's tons of stories like that of people that started late. But that's just an excuse. Don't give me an excuse. When I started speaking, I'm an introvert, believe it or not. Okay, I'm Clark Kent in real life, but you get me talking about the Olympics, personal development, I turned to Superman for a little while. And I never took a speech class in my life.
Yeah.
And 25 years ago, this kid asked me to be his show and tell project in school after the Olympics. Mm-hmm. I went, and they turned it into an assembly. I didn't realize, and all of a sudden, I'm having to speak for 45 minutes in front of 200 kids. But that's when it started, and I realized that I had this gift that I didn't even realize. We have all these God-given gifts, but unless you go out there and push yourself, you don't even realize you have them. And so then I started speaking professionally, and my speaking mentor told me, unless you write a book, no one's going to take you seriously. Mm-hmm. I told him, I make C's in English. My parents celebrated or brought a C in anything. I can't write a book.
That's great.
He said, look, you got a great story. You write it like you're writing a letter to your best friend. That kind of English. Don't try to get fancy. We're going to give it to some A students. They clean it up for you. That's just grammar. I thought, oh, my gosh, I didn't think about that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's called editing, all right? So shut up and sit down. So here's a non-athlete that's a four-time Olympian, a guy who can barely spell.
Yep.
My books have sold almost 400,000 copies.
Oh, my.
In 10 different languages. Mm. And an introvert that makes his living doing keynote speeches. I mean, come on. If that's not God working through me, I don't know what is. And if you will, you know, trust God and put yourself out there and run on his belief and on his strength, you can do amazing things.
So great. I know people do and put God as their CEO of their business and their life. And so I do think, just like what you've spent so much time with lots of mentors and people to help feed into you, we have to also spend time with the Lord and ask him for guidance and also read his word and to be a part of the conversation. And that's what I do. I start every day with the Hallow app and prayer and my journal and all that kind of thing. So I'm hearing from you that has been the core of your life, which has been really, really inspiring. But you talk about embracing change as you've grown through the ages. But why do people, do you think, resist change? They get stuck. And I know you don't like excuses, but tell me anyway, why do they get stuck?
They're stuck because they it's human nature to fear. You know, people are afraid of the unknown, and they're afraid of a failure. They don't want to look back. But, you know, you got to fail to win. You got to fail to learn. And so, it's funny. A few years ago, this meeting planner from, I think she was from Italy. Yeah, she says, hey, we're having a big billion-dollar company, having the European sales kickoff. We're going through a lot of change, and I was on your website. Anybody can change sports at age 21 and make it to the Olympics and know something about change. And I was like, wow, I guess I do. I didn't even have it as a topic.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, going back to the tennis, Djokovic wins the first set, and then Nadal wins. He makes an adjustment, okay? And he wins the second set. And Djokovic makes an adjustment and wins the third. It goes back and forth because they're making adjustments. Whenever there is change, change is an opportunity to beat in competition. Whenever there is change, whoever adjusts first wins. It's an opportunity. This is a chance to beat that person who's always beating you. As long as, I'm praying for change. I'm praying that the temperature and the weather is going to change on a loose race because I can do things with the sled to, you know, it's kind of like putting on your rain tires if you're a car race.
Oh, yeah.
And so, once you look at it as an opportunity and really believe, then that makes it a lot easier to go for it.
I had a coach.
To take advantage of.
I had a coach in the swimming world that said when it rained, he said, Mary, you get ready because everybody else is going to be, oh, it's raining. I can't do it. I'm cold. He said, you get up on that block and you say, this is your time and you're going to own it. And I always loved it then from then on when it would rain or when that change would happen. So I love what you're saying is that you're embracing change. It's a part of who we are. And you have then the competitive advantage over yourself, because once you master that in your mind and embrace it, you're not going to be all upset when the world goes to war and when the stock market drops and when your friend doesn't return your calls and all these things that create emotional turmoil in our life. And so change is something that we should embrace. I love that. What would you tell somebody to have the competitive advantage? They're in their 60s, 50s, whatever. Where's their competitive advantage?
Any age, you know, the young people think they're too young. then the old people think they're too old. It's just an excuse. Just if it's in your heart, go for it. You know, I don't have any tattoos. Somebody put a gun to my head and I have to put on a tattoo, it wouldn't even be the Olympic ring. Mine would say total commitment, no regrets. I don't want to have regrets. And so I want to be able to look at that guy in the mirror when I'm brushing my teeth. And if you give it all you had, then you have no regrets.
Oh, what a blessing to hear that. No regrets, people. None of us. We don't want to have regrets. We want to speak with power, presence, and build our confidence. We're doing that today with Ruben Gonzalez, the luge champion, Olympian. And we're so excited that he's sharing with us about mindset and how to be a competitor in life, no matter what your age and how to win. We've got another segment coming up. We're going to visit with some of our awesome sponsors. And we're going to wrap up in a few minutes to talk about legacy with Ruben Gonzalez. We'll be right back.
Sharpen your voice. Refine your brand with the Mary Gardner Show. Let's get back into the studio. Here's Mary.
Hey, everybody, it's Mary, and I am in the studio. It's so great here. Salem Communications, Salem Media is so great, and I hope that you're enjoying the entire network. And I love it because it's the largest faith-based conservative network in the country. And so I'm very honored to be here. And if you have any questions about our show or have any guests or sponsorship opportunities, we do have them. You can go to marygardner.com and check that out. So we're talking to Ruben Gonzalez, who's been a four-time Olympian, who is going for his fifth Olympics in his 60s and will be the oldest Olympian in history. And that's going to be in 2030. So, Ruben, I want to talk about legacy because so many of us, like, we go through life just floating and we don't accomplish those huge, big things that you're challenging us to do that. So why are you still doing it? Share with me, what is that drive inside of you that allows you and pushes you forward to go accomplish again?
Funny, I've had these 7-year breaks. It seems like after 6 or 7 years, I have this weird 7-year itch. And it's not about chasing women. It's about chasing a dream. I get bored. I got to do something big. And I start, you know, thinking about, I wonder if this old body can handle it again. And I'll go take a few runs. And coach says, man, you're sliding better than ever. You're mentally stronger. And so it all starts feeding through. Okay, maybe we do one more. Now we all start getting excited. And we start working towards it. So it's kind of it starts with, in my case, just, you know, itching to do something because this life is too plain. And I want to do something special. You mentioned legacy. You know, my kids, I've always told them that don't you ever think that you have to be an Olympian to be okay in my book, okay? I don't even care if you do sports. Mm-hmm. You can learn a lot of fun, cool things in sports, but mm-hmm. I don't even care. Your job is to figure out what your dream is, mm-hmm. and my job is to hook you up with people and open up doors so you can reach that dream. Mm-hmm. And so that way they wouldn't have that pressure. And they're doing great. I mean, my son, he's a third year of aerospace engineering at Texas A&M. Mm. He's leading 250 people at the Corps of Cadets. A daughter is doing great things in ministry. And so they did that, right? They're following mm-hmm. their heart. They're not mm-hmm. following. My parents, I was the oldest. I was supposed to be the doctor. I mean, I would get a stethoscope for Christmas, okay, because I was going to be the doctor.
Oh, wow.
Well, tell you what, I am saving lives by not being a doctor, okay? You don't want me operating on you. I mean, I'll be on the sidelines to make sure you do your rehab, but no.
That's great.
So I believe that God puts a dream in your heart, but it's not gonna fall on your lap, okay? You have to start working, and then you have to start digging deep, and when the going gets really tough, you start to keep digging even deeper, and that's when you start finding your God-given gifts that you didn't even know you had.
Mm.
And then once you discover them, you've got them for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So guess what? You just grew, and by following your dream, then you're making the world a better place. You're actually creating a ripple effect of success because you're a better person to everybody, rather than that person sitting on the couch, you know, watching TV all night.
What do you say to a person who says, well, if God wants me to do it, he'll create it?
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember watching The Secret, that movie,
years ago. Yeah.
And when that bicycle appeared, the kid was dreaming about a bicycle. He opened up the door and there was a bike. I thought, this is such BS. I mean, I never got a bike that way. I had to work my tail off mowing lawn.
It's kind of like the farmer when somebody walks by. Oh my gosh, what the Lord did for your beautiful garden. It was so amazing. And the farmer says, yeah, you should have seen it when he had it all on his own.
Oh,
Right. So exactly. So tell me what you want people to take away from your amazing journey.
I saw the Olympics when I was 10. I didn't believe it was possible. I was fascinated by the Olympics, and that kept me, you know, mentally in the game. But it wasn't until I saw Scott Hamilton that I was inspired. And when I saw him, he took my excuses away, and I believed that it was possible. And now, when we believe something's possible, now it's easy to get started. And so whenever I speak, whether it's somebody over coffee or you know, several thousand people at a big event, my goal is to do for them what Scott Hamilton did for me. You know, take their excuses away so they can face those fears. And when you face those fears, fear of the unknown, fear of failure, mm-hmm. you realize that it was just a smoke screen and there was nothing there. And guess what? That's not a fear anymore. So that means you grew. You just got better just by facing that fear.
That's right. And you ended up meeting him. Tell us that story.
Oh, my. That was so awesome. So I had I was speaking in Nashville where he lived, and he happened to be there. And we've been trying to get together for years. 38 years after he inspired me. I met him. We spent a couple hours in a coffee shop talking. And I told him what I just told you about, you know, I want to be there, Scott Hamilton, mm-hmm. when I speak. And he got all choked up. He goes, oh, dude, that's cool. How about them Bears? He changed the conversation.
Oh, that's so, because sometimes hearing that about yourself, you're like, yeah, whatever. So, no, but if someone was listening today that had to make one decision, what should that be?
What's the best thing you can do in the next 10 minutes to get you closer to your dream? Not tomorrow, not next week, not after you. This is not the time to rearrange your closet and make sure everything's color coordinated. 10 minutes. What if you could only do one thing? What's the most important thing that'll get you closer?
Yeah.
And then once you've done that one, just keep repeating that question for the rest of your life. And that'll help you stay focused on the most important thing and start building momentum. And mm-hmm. as you start building momentum, you start believing in yourself more. And then you start, attracting those resources. And everything starts, starts moving your way. And then average people who don't listen to your show, they start saying, you were just lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky I listened to Mary Gardner's show.
If you listen to the Mary Gardner show, you're out working at the gym in the morning and you're in the swimming pool and you're setting some goals. So, no, that's exactly right. That's what I hope to do to people as well and help them support themselves so they can get to that next level. Because life is short, Ruben. And so you never know when you have when that last moment and that last breath is going to be. Tell me, what is unstoppable in 1 minute? What's your thought on being unstoppable?
Being unstoppable is just chasing that dream. You know, if it's in your heart, dedicating your life to the pursuit of your dream. If you do that, you're just going to have a great life. You're going to have fun. You'll enjoy it. And you'll have all these naysayers, and that's okay. Don't try to explain your dream to them. A non-dreamer will never be understood by a dreamer. They're a different species, okay? You just keep going, and you'll make it. And you surround yourself with those winners, and you'll be unstoppable. Nothing will be able to stop you.
That's so powerful. Well, this is such a phenomenal conversation. I literally could keep going on. We're going to take a small little break about this little fun segment that we have called You Rock.
You rock, you rock, you rock, you rock, you rock.
So, Ruben, the You Rock section came about because my beloved brother, Terry, who passed away about 7 years ago, almost 8 years ago, always told me, Mary, you rock. You can do anything. You've got to just be happy. Keep going. And even when he had scoliosis and even when he was in pain, he would tell me that you rock. And so I always pick out somebody every show that I love and I have acknowledged. And this week, I want to acknowledge a man that just passed away. Jeff Webb, who was the founder of Victory or Varsity Cheerleading, and he always wanted to pass away in a kind of a freak accident. He believed that he didn't want to grow old. He was 76, so he'd lived an amazing life, and he had made billions of people happy around the world because he really started the whole cheerleading industry. But he was so generous to me and to my boyfriend and to our friends, and what a normal human, but what an extraordinary person. And so I just wanted to say, Jeff, that you rocked and you were an amazing legacy. And I just was so glad that I know you if you're listening in heaven. So that's my You Rock section. And who do you want to say that you rock, Ruben?
Oh, I'll say Jonathan Edwards, my coach. because when I was at the Calgary Olympics and actually the Salt Lake City Olympics 2002, I'd never met him because he had competed during one of those periods when I didn't lose, and he was coaching the Bermuda team in Salt Lake. Mm. And one of the five training runs, I had a terrible crash, so bad that I peed blood for 3 days. I was scared to death, and the sled was a mess. And I walk up to the start house with my sled, and everybody, all the other athletes, says, "Oh my God!" They start murmuring in different languages. This guy's no way he can race. Wow. And Jonathan walks up to me, and like a guardian angel, okay, he didn't even know who he was. He goes, "Hey, Ruben, give me a file in 30 minutes. I'll fix that for you." And that's when the friendship began. And we're dear friends now. And he's been, he's
what's
big
his,
time.
What's his name again?
Number one.
But yeah. His name again?
Jonathan Edwards.
Jonathan Edwards, you rock. So great. No, this is so great. So beautiful. Well, if there's one thing I want any of you listeners today to take away is that you are not done. It doesn't matter your age, and it doesn't matter your past, and it doesn't matter how far that you think you are. Ruben Gonzalez started at 21 with no experience and became an Olympian. And now decades later, he's still chasing greatness. Why? Because life is not meant to be safe. It's meant to be lived. It's meant to be pursued. And it's meant to be stretched, expanded, and experienced fully. So here is my challenge to you. What is one thing that you've been putting off? You know there's one thing in your heart that you have been called to do. And as Ruben said earlier, you got 10 minutes. Go start it. Just take one step. Because you don't need the whole path. It's going to show up, but you need the courage to begin. And Ruben, what is the one thing you want to take us out? You got about 30 seconds. Give us one last word of encouragement for the audience.
What are the chances somebody like me can make it to the Olympics even one time? I wasn't a great athlete. Didn't get started until 21. Living hot and humid Houston, I go and do the loose, for Pete's sake.
Amen.
You might think it was one in a million. Well, no, it was inevitable. Four times. What are the chances that you can make your dream come true?
Amen.
It's not one in a million. It's inevitable.
Amen.
As long as you follow that coach and refuse to give up and work your tail off and just go for it and enjoy the journey. It's not one in a million. You can do it.
You can do it. You can do it. This is Mary Gardner, and you've been listening to The Mary Gardner Show. And remember, your story is not over. Your best chapter may be the one that you haven't written yet. Go live it. I look forward to seeing you next time. And God bless.